Eventually, it's going to happen. You'll turn the key and your engine won't start. Don't lose your ability to get around. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts for a super start battery. Whether it's a reliable economy, hardworking premium, or powerful extreme, you'll find it at an everyday low price. Don't let a dead battery slow you down. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Good evening. This is what's happening in your world tonight.
It's the news update from Game Time Decisions.
Good afternoon. I'm George Kurtz, and this is your fantasy news update. The NHL will have the remaining three playoff series starting tonight for the round one first round of the playoffs. Maple Leafs will be at Boston, Hurricanes at the Capitals, and the Colorado Avalanche at the Calgary Flames. The NBA have announced what their first-round playoff series will begin. It will begin Saturday with the Nets at the 76ers, Magic at the Raptors, Clippers at Warriors, and Spurs at Nuggets. The remaining four series will begin on Sunday. Pacers at the Celtics, Thunder at the Trailblazers, Pistons at Bucks, and Jazz at Rockets. In the NFL, Leonard Fournette was arrested earlier today, about an hour and a half ago, for unpaid tickets. Seems to be a little harsh, but that's what happened there. Leonard Fournette arrested. The NFL and the Jacksonville Jaguars are aware of what's going on. In Major League Baseball, we had five games this afternoon. We have a final here. Cincinnati Reds shut out the Miami Marlins again. Miami Marlins only got swept, only scored one run in this series. For the Reds, Sonny Gray pitched four innings, two hits, no runs, six strikeouts, but had to leave the game with an unknown injury. Stevenson came on one inning, and they went to a committee after that. For the Miami Marlins, Lopez, 4 2/3 innings, seven hits, four runs, all earned, one walk and five strikeouts. The only home run in the game, Eugenio Suarez, his third of the season for the Cincinnati Reds. In the Oakland Athletics, in the Baltimore Orioles, A's beat the Orioles 8-5, no shock there. Brooks goes six innings, three hits, three runs, all earned, three walks, three strikeouts, threes across the board if you played that lucky number. Dylan Bundy takes his first loss of the season, five innings, seven hits, six runs, all earned, no walks, eight strikeouts. Home runs in this game, Morales, his first is going to be traded over from Toronto Blue Jays to Oakland of the season for Oakland. Fakely is third. Chris Davis, Crush Davis, hit two for the Oakland A's, his eighth and ninth. Semien, his third for the A's. Smith Jr. hit his first for the Orioles. Chris Davis, the other Chris Davis, once again extends his record hitless streak to 53 at-bats now. He's 0 for his last 53 to extend that streak. Indians and Tigers, Cleveland shuts out Detroit 4-0 in this game. Sean Bieber, seven innings, three hits, no runs, one walk, six strikeouts. Turnbull, four innings, eight hits, three runs, all earned, one walk, and four strikeouts for the Indians. Only home run in this game, Leonis Martin hits his second of the season for the Indians. Dodgers and Cardinals currently playing in a slugfest here. It's 11-7 St. Louis in the bottom of the seventh. Walker Buehler gets lit up again. Four innings pitched, five hits, five runs, all earned, two walks, five strikeouts. Waka, waka, waka for the Cardinals. Didn't do much better. 3 2/3, eight innings, seven runs, all earned, one walk, three strikeouts for the Cardinals. Home runs in this game. Freese, the St. Louis hero, World Series hero, hits his first of the season for the Dodgers. Enrique Hernandez is fourth of the season. Walker Buehler couldn't pitch today, but he could hit. Hit his first home run of the season for the Los Angeles Dodgers. Mariners and Royals. Top of the ninth, 6-4. Royals lead this one here. In this game, Lopez, six innings pitched, three hits, two runs, both earned, two walks and five strikeouts. Mike Leake, five innings pitched, five hits, four runs, all earned, two walks and four strikeouts for the Mariners. Whit Merrifield, as of right now, will see his 31-game hit streak come to a close as he is 0-5. So he would need Seattle to score a couple of runs here to extend this game. Tonight in Major League Baseball, we have in the American League, Toronto Blue Jays will have the second game of their two-game series against the Boston Red Sox. They will throw Aaron Sanchez against Nathan Eovaldi. Jays plus 155, Red Sox minus 185 in this game. In the National League, Mets will play the Braves, Mats versus Gausman. Mets plus 110, Braves minus 130. We have the Pirates at the Cubs. Husker vs. Quintana, Pirates plus 115, Cubs minus 135. Padres at the Diamondbacks, Avila vs. Godley. Padres minus 105, Diamondbacks minus 115. Colorado Rockies will play the San Francisco Giants also tonight. This has been George Kurtz, and it is your Fantasy News Update.
Join the experts live on the air every day by calling in at 844-843-6879 to join the Fantasy Sports Network.
All you have to decide is what to do with with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
All right, let's roll. Game time decisions. Ready? Rage Radio has begun. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart Radio. Now on YouTube, I am Gabriel Morenci. The Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, will join us from Las Vegas in the 5 o'clock hour. Colonel Kurtz, George Kurtz, steps up and in for the Raging Redhead as it is day two of the Stanley Cup playoffs. A pretty eventful opening night last night. Masters play continues right now. Some big names struggling and some big names at the top of the leaderboard as we speak. NBA, the NBA playoff schedule pretty much came out as I predicted it would at about 1:45 a.m. Last night. Real climatic way to tell people when the playoff games are. But nevertheless, the playoffs are set. The playoff odds are set. The series prices are set. Game one prices are set. Whale Capper is all set. Whale Capper is going to join us in a couple of minutes. We'll talk a little Masters and NBA playoffs with Whale Capper. Cam Stewart, Masters, NHL playoffs. Alex Smith will join us. We'll talk NHL playoffs with Alex. And Ken Danico joined us on the morning show this morning, George. So we'll replay Ken Danico breaking down the playoffs. A three-time Stanley Cup champion. He knows a thing or two about playoff hockey.
Just a thing or two, right? Just a thing or two with Danico. I actually enjoy watching him on NHL Live. He's on there from time to time. He's interesting, to put it nicely. Old school, right? Gabe, old school play. Doesn't really. Yes. I don't think he enjoys what's going on nowadays.
Yeah, he is. He is very old school. Well, you know, I think he. You know, he does, but he's free is cut from the old school cloth, and I guess, you know, is Zdeno Chara sort of the last of those guys out there now? He's 42. Ooh. He's been in the league. He's a nice guy, though, Zdeno. You know, not that Ken Danico isn't, but you know what I mean? Like, there was the Scott Stevenses, Chris Pronger.
They play with more of an more viciousness.
Yeah, guys that would
Zdeno Chara tries not to hurt people.
He does. He does.
When he's in a fight, I think he realizes in a fight he can kick the shit out of you and really do some damage. And he's trying to win the fight, but he realizes, hey, no one can reach me, because with that reach, you can't reach him. It's like me holding my kid away. They can't reach me. They can't swing. And I think he understands that.
He is. He's a nice guy, but he can't be like the gentle giant, right? But I'm just talking, not even just massive guys, but, you know, I remember like Chris Pronger in the playoffs. Like, he would try to take your head off, like literally. Like, he would just, you know, like concuss you, put your face first into the glass, elbow you in the face, like cheap shot type stuff. Mark Messier was the same way. You know, Mark Messier played a dirty style of hockey in the corner. I mean, that's what hockey was. And, you know, look, Gordie Howe, oh, Mr. Hockey. Mr. Hockey, you know how many noses Mr. Hockey broke over the years?
A lot. He rearranged quite a few.
Yeah, yeah. Incidentally, though, you know the Gordie Howe hat trick? He only had one. But nevertheless. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to. Let's do this thing.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, let's do this thing. Thursday night throwdown. We should say the evening, afternoon into evening, depending on where you are right now. I guess it's early afternoon. Those of you on the West Coast, the Masters continues right now. We'll be keeping our eye on that NBA playoffs. We're going to jump in. We've been really, really heavy hockey this week. I'm scared to look at the ratings and I'm scared to look at iTunes this week. But there's been no complaints. It is what it is. But we're going to get into the NBA today. Of course, we'll take a look at the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins. It's going to be an epic series. That's tonight. A couple other things, though, just quickly right now, as far as the NFL is concerned. Odell Beckham. I don't know how Odell Beckham would know, but evidently he does, and so does Jamal Adams. Odell Beckham said, he said, I just saw the schedule. So it's strange that the players would see the schedule before the release. Odell Beckham says, just seen the schedule. It's funny how God in the universe works. Week one surprise. So, but the thing is, the Browns are not playing the Giants this year, but they are playing. They are playing the New York Jets. And I believe they're playing the Jets in New York in week one. So Odell Beckham's first game as a member, it's not official, but Odell Beckham dropped this. And Jamal Adams responded to him with a picture of himself in a Jet uniform. So it looks like, boys, we know who won a couple of games in week one now. Whale Capper's going to give us some picks. Packers, Bears, Jets, Browns. What's up, Whale Capper?
Yeah, you know what that Jets, Browns is going to be? That's going to be the early game on Monday Night Football, the doubleheader.
Yeah,
pen that in. Is there a prop open for that? I can bet that somewhere, because that is the perfect game to put on the opening Monday Night Football of this next year.
Hey, I'm about 11 minutes away from the stadium with no traffic in an Uber. Sign me up, man. Le'Veon Bell's first game. Odell Beckham, new look. New uniform. Dude. Jets, new look. Jets.
Yeah.
New look, Browns.
Darnold versus Mayfield, the top two quarterbacks picked last year in the draft in their second year. Like, there's a lot of expectations on these two young guys. If I had to line that game without knowing anything else about the draft, I'm going to say we're going to get pretty close to a pick 'em. It's probably going to be Jets. I mean, it's probably going to be, Jets probably be small home dog in that
one. Minus one and a half.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it's going to be right around, it'll be under a field goal. So basically pick the winner. And I'll put the total at, we'll say 47.
Give me the Browns.
I like it. I like it. Browns do some damage. I love this.
Give me the Browns and give me the Bears to beat up the Packers. All kidding aside, though, the win totals were put out, guys. And Cam's in Vegas, Will Capper, so we got George Kurtz here. He's not a basketball guy, but he is a football guy. So I'll just throw it at you. What did you make of the win totals for the New York Jets? Was 7. So we're not every team, but these teams here specifically. New York Jet win total was 7. Yeah, felt a little low to me at 7. And the Cleveland Browns came in at an even 9.
Yeah. I was so in both cases, I was looking for a Jets over, and I was hoping it wasn't going to be as high as 7. So I was a little disappointed there. And I was looking for a Browns under, and I was hoping it was going to be higher than 9. So I think both lines are pretty tight. I'll say this about the Jets, though. You're asking for a lot of things to go right for them to make an improvement year over year of from 4 to 7 this year. I mean, I know they have completely revamped the roster, and they made some nice additions on defense. Le'Veon Bell aside, that's obviously the biggest name in their free agency period. But they made some nice pickups on the defensive side of the ball, which is where they was much more important that they improved coming into this season. And I think they're going to be, they'll be a frisky team. But you're asking Darnold to improve pretty substantially, or at least, continue his trajectory of improvement that we saw over the last half of last season, if you're going to get them to 7 wins this year. But for sure, what they have going for them, they get to play the Dolphins twice, and the Dolphins look like an absolute shit show. Excuse me. They look like an absolute dumpster fire. And the Bills look pretty brutal as well. I don't think.
Oh, easy.
Yeah.
I don't mind. Yeah, I don't mind. I don't mind. Yeah. I don't mind you saying shit show, but let's say easy on the Bills here. I let it go when you said the top two rookie quarterbacks. I was like, I won't bring up Josh Allen.
Well, top two in terms of when they were drafted. Number one, and number three.
I hear.
That was, of course, like that.
You like that? I'm not offended by the language, but when you bring it, I'm like, whoa, enough with the Bills. Hey.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Yeah. I mean, you're going to need a pretty significant step forward in for Josh Allen in terms of his passing accuracy and how he reads defenses if you're expecting the Bills to be a contender this year. But they have the best coach of those three teams in the AFC East besides the Patriots. Clearly, in my opinion, the best of those three coaches. Adam Gase moving from the Dolphins to the Jets was not an upgrade necessarily over Todd Bowles, as far as I'm concerned. And the Dolphins are pretty clearly going to be in a position where they're going to try to lose their way into the one seed for, you know, number one overall pick next year. So it's going to be pretty ugly in the AFC East, and the Jets could just accrue some wins on that. On those grounds alone. But seven was a pretty sharp number for those guys, I think.
What do you think, Kurtz, for the Jets this year, the number seven and the Browns? And it's funny, too, because I thought the Browns number might be even a little higher than the nine.
And
it might be.
Yeah.
It might be.
Because I was hoping just, for like a 9.5, 10, but no.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I was thinking, you know, maybe 10 at some spots, plus 120 or something, and a 9.5 sort of standard because of the hype. But that was just the first book, and they're trying to lay soft numbers out there so they can hang on to your money all year. But what do you think, Kurtz? Jets over under 7 wins and a Browns 9?
Jets 7 wins. I mean, it all comes down to Sam Darnold, right? What kind of improvement is he going to make from year two? Still doesn't have the greatest receiving core. Anderson, Inunwa, Crowder. Does anybody really think Crowder is going to make that be a difference maker? Herndon, I like Le'Veon Bell, I do, but how's he going to be behind that offensive line? It's not the Pittsburgh offensive line, which we know is pretty damn good, as Connor ran just as well as Bell did. So I have my doubts about the Jets with 7. Yeah, I absolutely believe that the Dolphins are shit show, train wreck, dumpster fire, all in one. They're tanking. They want the number one pick. I mean, that's what they are. That's what they're doing. That's what everybody does in today's sports, right? If you're going to suck, really suck, and get the top picks here. That's what goes on. So I don't know if I believe the Jets are going to get 7. I just don't know. I think more like 5.5, 6. I would go the under. I wonder if that line's a little high because of the additions they've made. The Bells, you know, that sort of thing, where C.J. Mosley on defense, that sort of
Crowder.
Thing. As for the Browns, I'm on the Browns bandwagon. I don't think Crowder sucks. I just don't believe in Crowder. I don't. And he can't stay healthy anyway. I'm on the Browns bandwagon, though. I think they're going to be definite plays to win that division. So I'll go over the Browns here. Not that they're going to win 12 games, something silly like that. But 10, I think 10's in money. I don't really trust Baltimore. Cincinnati, I think, is done. And Pittsburgh has got to take a step back. You lose Antonio Brown and Bell. You can't tell me you're not taking a step back.
Mm. All right. Sometimes addition through subtraction with some football teams. But all right. We can debate this for hours. But we can't. So listen, before we go to a break in a couple of minutes here, I saw you posted some Masters picks, Will Capper, and the next segment we'll hit NBA. So how's it going for you so far? I have a couple of make the cut parlays that look like they're going down the drain here.
No. Who's your sinker? Because I got to tell you, the way this is. He's gonna make the cut. He's at plus three. He finished up.
Chip away at plus three. All right.
Yeah, he chipped away at it a little bit. I think right. He's at Hideki Matsuyama finished at plus three today.
Who are you on?
No one. So here's the thing about the cut parlay. The books are gonna be a sweat nap tomorrow because I don't know who's getting cut. Like, no one is running away with this thing. The way that works in the Masters is that the top 50 players, or if you're within 10 strokes of the lead. And right now, leader in the clubhouse, minus three, that's
they're all in the top 10
for the day.
Yeah,
everybody's within 10. You know, I mean, there's really, it's going to take something weird for, you know, really any of the contenders.
There's a lot of golf. Hang in there, Will Capper. Hang in there. We'll be right back. Game time decision continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Yang with a 1-2-3 inning today so far. We're going into the second inning now. Speaking of which, so Whale Capper's joining us. You can find him on Twitter at Whale_Capper. Quickly about the Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. And Whale Capper called and said, no doubt it'll be the first leg of Monday Night Football. And I think you have yourself a lock here, Whale Capper. As I see. Get this, guys. The 2019 season marks the 50th anniversary of Monday Night Football.
Oh, yeah.
Guess who played the first ever game on Monday Night Football? The Cleveland Browns and the New York Jets. Nope. The first Monday Night Football game ever was the Browns and the Jets. They're coming out. It's a tradition year this year. Packers-Bears on the opening Thursday night for the 100th anniversary. Boom. 50th anniversary, Monday Night Football, Odell Beckham. Like, dear God, I'm going to buy as many tickets as I can just to sell them.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Dude, 50th anniversary, Monday Night Football.
It's April. Oh, my God.
I know. Right now, I'm like, I'm thinking, man, I wish this game was next week.
Yeah, for real, man. Oh, well. It's a great week.
And how about being the Giants, guys?
Yeah.
How about being the New York Giants? Like, you guys don't matter anymore. The Jets are the ones that matter in the city.
Yeah, man, they used to be the hot ticket on the first ever Sunday Night Football game of the year. They would always throw us the Dallas Giants. That's an afterthought this year. Giants aren't going to be competing. No way.
Thank God. That got old after a while, man. Every year, Dallas Giants, Sunday night, blah, blah, blah. Oh, Cowboy fan, I got tired of that.
Yeah, it's like the Canadians and the Bruins in the playoffs. Okay, so as far as the Masters... And you're right, Will Cabot, for one thing. It's sort of like a horse race. And I will admit, I'm that guy when it comes to golf that gets mad at every missed shot and stuff. But I'm also that guy, looks at amateurs when they're betting on horse racing. Oh, my God, like, we're in last place around the turn. Like, people don't realize golf is like horse racing. Nobody goes wire to wire. You don't want to be leading after the first round unless you bet opening day leader. It means nothing. And there's a lot of golf left, like in a horse race. There's a lot of racetrack left out here still, Whale Capper.
It's true. It's true. And you know what? You actually could kind of see. I watched a lot of the Masters today. They had the Masters app is just out of this world good. And they have these feature groups where you can pretty much watch every swing that a player takes over the course of the day. So you can really kind of gauge their form, their decision making, their demeanor, their intestinal fortitude. One of the feature groups today had Tiger Woods, and you could see it on the front nine. He wasn't pushing. He wasn't, like, forcing. He wasn't taking risks. He was just kind of getting a feel for the course. And you could kind of feel, oh, man, like, he's in the mix, and he's in low gear. He is not pushing. He is not, you know, he has not ramped up yet. If he's in the mix with this game, like, he's going to be a factor on Sunday. On the back half, again, he wasn't pushing. He made a couple of nice putts. He got a couple of birdies. He looked up, and he was tied for the lead. And, you know, the energy at the whole venue went, through the roof. Everybody online is just freaking out. Tiger's back. He's back. And it got, you could see, like, his nerves got to him a little bit, and he was second guessing himself on some shots that he makes in his sleep, and he gave back a couple of easy ones that he should have had down the stretch to come in. What is he now? He finished minus two for the day, so he's only one stroke off the lead. But if his game is this as good as it looks, and he is playing mistake free golf with relatively little effort involved, he's definitely going to be a factor, and that alone makes this event worth tuning in for the duration at this point, because if he's in contention on Sunday, this goes without saying, it looks like everyone who matters in golf is going to be in contention on Sunday, the way this is playing out, except for maybe Jordan Spieth, who's playing quite poorly. If everyone is in contention, then Sunday is going to be a pretty spectacular day of golf. I personally really like Ricky Fowler a lot this year. I think he's got the game, and he's got the he plays extremely well on this course, and always has his game tuned to where he's peaking around the time of the Masters. And last year, if it weren't for Patrick Reed just putting like lights out, totally anomalously good putting, I think Fowler would have been the pretty clear winner last year. So I think this year's Fowler's year, and that's kind of my biggest play, at least in terms of payout, as we look at the way that the board is stacked up right now, and looking at my tickets.
Let's talk some NBA basketball. And congratulations. Great call. And I got to send a tweet out to our boy Drew Dinkmeyer as well, because it was crazy. You both said it on the same day. Earlier in the morning.
Oh,
and Dinkmeyer,
yeah,
sharp guy. And here we are. Here we are, the Orlando Magic. And what it is, Kurtz, the Orlando Magic, Will Capper got it at like 8-1 at the time to win a division. And Whale Capper was with us, and Drew Dinkmeyer was on in the morning with us. And, we don't really think Drew Dinkmeyer is one of the best, Whale Capper, he's one of the best DFS guys in America. Like he's won the Millionaire Maker. He's won hundreds of thousands of dollars numerous times. Like, he's got a big house in Miami. You know what I mean? Like, he's
that's legit, man.
He's an he's like you. He's a smart guy. He's an Ivy Leaguer. So he took, like, his Ivy League brains. Except it's funny because a lot of people think, oh, the fantasy guys don't know anything about sports, or they just their numbers. But they know a hell of a lot. Like, Drew can really break stuff down, and he was all over it. He was said, hey, I got a suggestion, guys. The Orlando Magic can win this division. And here we go. Here we are. If they make it, they get my Toronto Raptors. But enough of patting you guys on the back. I'll throw out the game one lines. And then we'll sort of talk about the series or whatever, just so for people don't know the lines or whatever. Brooklyn Nets are at Philadelphia on Saturday afternoon at 2:30 Eastern. And Joel Embiid's probably not going to play. They're saying he might not play, which means he's not playing. And he might be hurter than anyone thinks. So Brooklyn's getting 7.5, 8, depending on your book. FanDuel's dealing 7.5 right now, but we are in New York. So Orlando and Toronto. Toronto, -8.5. That's at 5 o'clock. -8.5. The Golden State Warriors lay 12.5 to the L.A. Clippers. That gets the prime time 8 o'clock coverage on ABC or ESPN, whatever the hell it is, 8 o'clock Saturday night. And then the nightcap, kind of strange because it's later. You figure they would have made Golden State later, but San Antonio and Denver, which I think is going to be a lot of fun. And Will Capper, I was looking forward to seeing the total of the San Antonio-Denver game because San Antonio don't play a lot of defense, man. You know what I mean? Like, I think this series is the one that can get after it. It's going to be a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing 211.5 right now. Before we get to the series prices, what's your initial reaction to the opening lines for game opening day on Saturday?
Well, we are in absolute lockstep on that over in Denver. That is a beauty of a look. 211.5. I mean, I know that, a lot, if you're betting game by game over the course of the season, and you look at these lines, you're going to do some double takes for sure, because things change. Things are different in the playoffs. Things get tighter. Games are a little bit tighter, a little bit slower possessions in the fourth quarter. Sometimes that lends itself to, slightly lower totals. All that said, you're absolutely right. San Antonio does not play defense well enough to contain the Denver Nuggets. The Denver Nuggets have a much more dynamic offense than we saw over the last few weeks of the season, where they were kind of trying out some different things, and they were really just playing out the, playing things out, trying to position themselves for playoff seeding. And I would expect this game to go well over 211.5, and I'm probably going to look for some alternative overs, because I would probably take this up to about 219.5 and try to get about +200-ish, if that's going to be that'll probably be available on Saturday, and that's going to be a lot of fun. But overall,
on the other end of that, though, Will Capper, right. Sorry, I just wanted to say, on the other end of that spectrum, I thought too, because there wasn't totals last night even this morning. This is the first time I'm seeing them, and I thought I was guessing 217.5, 218.5. Hell, 221 wouldn't have surprised me. I'm surprised, so let's stop talking about it and just let it sit there right now.
Never mind.
Never mind.
Nothing
Dang,
to
erase,
see here. Nothing to see
delete
here.
Delete the tape. Yeah, delete that part
nothing
of the conversation.
To see here.
But on the opposite end, Johnny Public's going to come in and look at the Golden State Warriors and see 232 and don't realize the Warriors clamped down on defense in the playoffs. And And I remember, like, the Warriors are like a dead nut under in the playoffs. They don't play high-scoring games like people think. Is 232 a little too high in that game, initial reaction? What do you think?
Yeah, if I was going to play anything on that one, it would be the under. I mean, but you know, you're going to get a pretty high pace out of the
And it could be a blowout too. That's another thing.
But yeah, it absolutely could be a blowout. You know, I mean, we saw these teams match up. I think maybe like what, a week and a half ago, and it was not remotely competitive. And at that time, I don't even think you were getting an A effort out of the Warriors. So I mean, you know, the Warriors could treat this as a tune-up. We saw Steph kind of rolled his ankle on Tuesday. He may, you know, he may play limited minutes. You know, it remains to be seen. But at first glance, that does look too high. And if I play that game, I'll probably be on the under with you.
All right. As far as the series prices are concerned, Philadelphia. So Philadelphia, Brooklyn. Do the Brooklyn Nets have a shot here to beat them? Or is it just they're going to be competitive, hang around, maybe cover some numbers?
Philadelphia
minus 650, Brooklyn plus 410, Will Capper.
Yeah, if you're going to get involved in that one, I would take them as you know, with a game's handicap, right? So if you could get them plus 1.5, now I'm interested. With I don't think they're going to win this series. I think you know, talent will win out in the end. And if this comes down to a game 7, which it, you know, which it very well could. And you have, you know, full complement of minutes from, you know, the first unit for the Sixers. I think they're going to be able to put away the Nets. When I look at this series on paper, though,
well, how about this? How about this, Whale Capper? Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brooklyn Nets, FanDuel, Brooklyn Nets plus 1.5 games, plus 150.
Yeah, there you go. That's a nice look. I would take a swing on that just because Nets play pretty well. Nets play very well at home. And you know, when I but overall this series, this screams live opportunity. Live, bet this one live, because the second unit for the Nets is so much better than the second unit for the Sixers.
They're going to battle. Hang in there, Will Capper.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll be right back. We'll hit a couple other series.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
O'Reilly Auto Parts. Game Time Decision. Red Heat Rage Radio. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. iHeart Radio. Now on YouTube as well. But I know that a majority of you, a bulk of you, are in cars and doing your thing. We got a ton of downloads and radio hits and podcasts and all the other modern metrics. So a shout out to everybody out there. Even if we don't see you, we know you're out there. Whale Capper with us right now. Always a fun time with Whale Capper. Time always goes by quickly. George Kurtz resting his operatic voice for the next update right now as we talk NBA basketball. But we got hockey, Kurtz, coming up in the 5 o'clock hour with Alex Smith. And with the raging redhead, Cam Stewart. Are you betting any hockey, Will Capper?
I only have a couple of plays out there. I don't really know my hockey particularly well, but I know a couple of sharp players. And so I've tailed a couple of little bit of action here or there. Looking for a long series in the Sharks Knights series. That one's probably the most, you know, one I'm looking most forward to. But the action yesterday was fantastic. And I got to say, if you had to, you know, the first round of the NBA playoffs look a little lopsided, I'll say. But the NHL playoffs, man, you got some good contests. Even like the Tampa Bay Lightning, who were, you know, unstoppable in the regular season, only lost like what, 20 games, to take a loss on home ice last night was pretty incredible. And that series is going to be tooth and nail to game 7 probably. So, it should be a lot of fun watching these, NHL playoff series play out.
So the Philadelphia 76ers, as we mentioned, minus 650, Brooklyn Nets plus 410, Toronto Raptors minus 1200. I was surprised about this one. And Listen, Will Capper, you know this Magic team, 8-2 down the stretch, playing with house money.
Yeah,
yeah. You know, they're going to be a very, very loose team. And I know Terrence Ross is going to get the Raptors at some point in this series. It's just the way it is. He's going to hit a big three. This is not going to be an easy series for the Raptors. I think they're going to survive it, but minus 1,200 there. The Warriors are minus 2,000. So 20-1 against the Clippers. The Denver Nuggets are minus 240 against the Spurs. I want to, you know, get your take. I'll just run through them, and then I'll ask you about it. Spurs plus 190. Indiana Pacers are plus 330 against the Boston Celtics. I don't know if the Celtics should be minus 460. The Milwaukee Bucks are minus 4,000, so 40-1. That was actually 60-1 this morning, so it came down. It was actually minus 6,000, so it's minus 4,000 now. Pistons plus 1,650. Oklahoma City Thunder are favorites, minus 148 against Portland, plus 122. And the Houston Rockets are now minus 300 against the Utah Jazz. What do you think of the series prices? And is there an upset here? Will the Spurs maybe knock off the Nuggets? How about the Pacers, Celtics? Any upsets? Thunder, you know, Thunder Blazers won't be an upset because the Thunder series favorites now.
Yeah, I'd say the Blazers probably, as far as an odds-on upset, the Blazers are the only ones that stand out to me. I'm not necessarily buying Thunder just because they have the star power that they're going to be able to win. You know, they're going to be able to win more than, you know, one game in Portland. And then they would have to completely defend home court advantage to come away with the series win. Too much of the offense in clutch still runs through Russell Westbrook. And we have yet to see him really perform impressively in a playoff series with the stakes particularly high where he's expected to be the leader. So they're probably going to be a little bit of a little learning curve trying to figure out who's the guy they go to in the clutch between him and Paul George. And I know, you know, Blazers are without Yusuf Nurkic, who is he's an important piece, right? If he's healthy, if he's in this series, I think you're seeing these odds exactly flipped. But even still, Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum, they had their load, you know, relatively well managed down the stretch, so they should be relatively fresh. They're going to have to, you know, play pretty substantial minutes to get through to the second round of the playoffs here. But I think they have a shot, and I like them as a dog with home court advantage. Other than that, I don't see much. There is definitely value on the Nets. We were talking about them right before the commercial break there, and the Sixers are very, very top heavy. Right. They have four bona fide NBA, stars in their first line. And then you put, J.J. Redick in there. If he's 100%, then, now you have a very dangerous, five-man squad on floor. But when they rotate in their second unit, there are massive holes. Their coach, Brent Brown, is a liability, in my opinion.
Atkinson's a great coach for Brooklyn, too.
Yeah, absolutely. And Brooklyn has an incredible second unit. They're a deep team, and they can score. They're the kind of team where they can be down 10 to tie ball game in less than a minute. Like they can absolutely heat it up with some of their 3-point shooting and some of their ability to drive and get to the hoop, relatively quickly. So they're the kind of team that is always going to be in it to come back. And so I think the angle on this one, if you don't want to get involved in a series price or a series handicap on Brooklyn, definitely just look for opportunities when the first unit for the Sixers is rotated out or getting rest, the Nets are just going to scream back in those games. And so you're going to be able to get some pretty favorable numbers if they're down, double digits and you see the stars come out for the Sixers. I'm going to be grabbing live positions on the Nets all series long. And I think they can take the Sixers to seven games. I think that this could definitely be Sixers advance on 4-3 or thereabouts. And that of the Eastern Conference, that's the only one that really looks particularly competitive to me. I have enough advantage on the Celtics over the Pacers that I don't think that it's really that worthwhile to get involved in a Pacers price. But there'll probably be some good opportunities to get some favorable numbers back in the Pacers game by game. But series-wise, I don't think they have a particularly good shot. So, I think this is going to be a pretty chalky round one, and it's going to set up for a pretty spectacular round two in the NBA playoffs. So if you're spending more time on the NHL than the NBA over the next week, then that's probably not time. That's probably time well spent.
It'll be interesting to see how some of these series play out, like Utah and Houston. I mean, it's amazing, Will Capra. Houston go from a 2 seed to a 4 seed in basically a couple of 3-point shots. Like, stuff will change quickly for Houston. It must have caught them off guard. I mean, and I don't think Houston are fazed by this, but it's just crazy that a basketball team that is essentially 17-4 in their last 21 games fell from 2-4 like this in one night. They're laying 6 against Utah. I think the Oklahoma City Portland's going to be a real battle. I watched them play a couple of weeks ago in the regular season, and they didn't like each other. Like, you know what? Nurkic is hurt, actually. Yeah. Remember Westbrook and Nurkic, they tripped each other, and then Westbrook pushed them. And that's going to be a contentious series, that one. Indiana-Boston should be pretty chippy. It's going to be fun. You're saying it's going to be chalky. I get it. It's always chalky as far as who moves on, but I think we could have more than one 7-game series, man. San Antonio, Denver to me, man. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if the home team, like, won every game in this series. Like, I'm looking at San Antonio +1.5.
Strongly agree with you there. That is a very strong agree. If the Nuggets win on the road, I'll be shocked. That one is set up for, I'll probably be
and
on
dude,
every,
the Spurs don't well, lose at home often either.
No, they don't. They're great at home. The Spurs are horrific on the road. The Nuggets are horrific on the road. This is absolutely going to come down to who you wins Game 7, and it's going to be in Denver, so you have to tip them an advantage. But you know, I think you're probably going to see money line prices in Game 7 that look an awful lot like the series price right now. So I don't know that you're going to capture a ton of value back in the Spurs.
That's a very good point.
I mean, if you do back the Spurs now, then you're basically like you're praying that they somehow win game 1, 2, or 5. And then you have some bargaining power in game 6 or 7 or something like that. So, you know, it's going to be but that should be a good series. And the Nuggets are frauds. They clearly have first team all NBA center in Jokic, but it's a young team that's unproven at this level. And the idea that they somehow, are as good as their seed, I think is pretty laughable. You're going up against Greg Popovich, who's been in this exact spot with a team that, not a lot of people believe in an awful lot of times. And they don't necessarily have the horses this year. I'm not a huge fan of LaMarcus Aldridge or playoff DeMar DeRozan. But there are other players on this Spurs team beyond those, the name guys who are pretty damn good. Can the Spurs win 3 games in this series? Absolutely.
Whale Capper, whale_Capper. All right, Whale Capper, we'll get you out of here in a minute or two. So how do you think this plays out? I remember last week when we spoke, you were on the Milwaukee train, and I don't know if you've heard this before, this metric about the Milwaukee Bucks, but teams that have won 45 or more games in a season, Will Capper, by double digits. It's a pretty incredible accomplishment, actually. So the teams that have won 45 or more games by double digits, as the Milwaukee Bucks have, it's only happened 7 times in NBA history before. They're 7-7 winning the championship. All 7 teams that have won 45 or more games by double digits went on to win the NBA championship. You know, Milwaukee, they lack some postseason experience, but, you look at the way the bracket plays out, they're going to make short work of the Pistons. If things play to form, then they play the Boston Celtics. And then if things play to form, I think they would play the Toronto Raptors, because I think the Raptors are going to beat the Magic, and then the Raptors will beat the Sixers. So then we'll have the Milwaukee Bucks and the Raptors in Eastern Conference Finals. And do you think Golden State are just going to get through here? Like, so who's playing in the NBA Finals? You got 1 minute.
The NBA Finals are going to be the Warriors in five over the Raptors. And I think the Raptors get there pretty comfortably. I really respect the way that they've constructed this roster. I have tremendous confidence in Kawhi Leonard when it comes to the playoffs, just because of the way that the playoff game is, you know, the way that that the fourth quarter plays out. He's going to be the best player on the floor in almost every single instance. And I say that even over Giannis, because Giannis cannot shoot the three as well as Leonard can shoot the three. And, you know, for those reasons, I think the defensive matchups that the Raptors can present on the Bucks, if that's even the Eastern Conference Finals, I got a funny feeling that Celtics can pull off an upset in the second round of the playoffs over the Bucks.
So what's better than Capper? And, you take the Raptors plus 250 to win the East, or take it a plus 1,100 to win the title?
I would take them to win the East in a heartbeat. I have a lot of positions that are kind of in that range from preseason and from during the season. And I was expecting them to look a lot. I was not expecting the Bucks to look as good as they have looked, and they've kind of eaten up a lot of the margin. I thought that I thought that kind of everyone would come around on the Raptors being clearly the best team in the East, but it hasn't really happened because of the kind of the, you know, what you're noting about the Bucks and how badly they've beaten some teams this year. The Bucks are kind of the classic regular season team to me. Like the way that their game is structured, the way that they rely on 3-point shooting from some of their big players, like, you know, it's a recipe for disaster. It's going to catch up to them. Absolutely.
Bill Capper. Find him on Twitter, whale_Capper, also on Audio Boom. Excellent stuff as always.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your Daily Roto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, let's do this thing. Level one winding down. Thanks to Whale Capper for joining us. Thank you, Abel Morency. George Kurtz in the house for the Ridge and Redhead Cam. Stuart Cam is going to join us in about 10 minutes' time. We got Alex Smith. We've got Cam. We've got Kurtz. If you missed Ken Danico this morning, we're going to play. We'll replay it. We got Ken Danico talking hockey as well. Me and Kurtz will get into some DFS, and we haven't spent too much time on the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Boston Bruins yet. We've got Masters continuing on as we speak right now, George. But big game tonight to me. And for the record, I like last night's series is better. You know what I mean? Like last night I went hardcore and I got my ass handed to me, George. It was freaking frustrating. I was on the wrong end of every late goal, except for the Islander game. Like every late goal that would happen, it cost me money. It was very frustrating. I had the under 6 in the night game. It was high scoring early, and then maybe we nearly got it late. Pretty frustrating night tonight, but I don't love the hockey games tonight from a betting standpoint. I don't really want to lay the big price with the Flames, but I think they're going to win. I think the Capitals probably win, but after losing money last night, I don't want to give money away. I actually do like the Toronto Maple Leafs, though, tonight. I think the Leafs are going to beat the Bruins. And if they're going to beat the Bruins, they're going to have to win one of these games.
You know, last night was one of those nights. I was saved thanks to the Grand Salami. And I had to stay up till what? I think it was 1:30 in the morning to wait for that goal. The over-under was 28.5. Goal 29 came at like 1:15 a.m.
So the entire night came down to that salami, that goal? Are you kidding me?
It made me not lose all that much. I lost like $12 or something like that. So, fine. But I was very happy with the Grant slot me.
I lost like $4.50 or something.
I didn't bet as much as you, the amount of games. But I was up all night, you know, I'm doing sheetrock because I have a leak here, and I'm watching this game. Like, come on, score a damn goal. No one scored empty net goals last night. It was strange, right? That's what made the over-under so close. There was no empty netters last night. I agree with you about Calgary tonight, though. I hate to lay it, but I think they have the best chance of winning.
Yeah, I think they're going to come out flying. They are... You know, they're solid. I think home ice will be big in that series, actually. Colorado's a tough place to play. the Alvin hit. All right, we're going to talk Hawks.
Like the Caps.
You do like the Caps tonight, right? We're going to games. Cam Stewart's going to join us from Vegas. Alex Smith, wager talk, and more.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, I'm George Kurtz, and this is your Fantasy News Update. The NBA will begin their 2019 playoffs on Saturday, beginning with the Nets at 76ers at 30 p.m. Eastern, followed by the Magic at the Raptors at 5 p.m. Eastern, Clippers at Warriors 8 p.m. Eastern, Spurs Nuggets finish it up at 10:30. The other series will be on Sunday. Once again, 1 o'clock, Pacers Celtics, 3:30, Thunder's Trailblazers, 7 p.m., Pistons Bucks, 9:30, Jazz Rockets, all times Eastern. The NHL will continue their first-round series tonight. The three series that didn't open up last night will begin tonight, of course. Maple Leafs and Bruins, 7 p.m. on NBCSN. 7:30 has the Hurricanes and Capitals on the USA Network. And 10 p.m. has the Avalanche and Flames on NBCSN. In the NHL last night, Joe Pavelski lost some chicklets and scored a goal on it, but got hit in the face and the puck wet the net. Lost some chicklets there. Should be good, though, however, game two. Hockey players always return. In the NFL, Leonard Fournette was arrested for not paying traffic tickets, apparently. We'll see if that's the only reason he was arrested for down there. NBA also, by the way, the Kings fired head coach Dave Joerger earlier today. You know, make the playoffs. That tends to be what happens here. In Major League Baseball, Whit Merrifield's 31-game hit streak did indeed come to a close today. He got an extra at-bat in the Mariner Royal game as it went 10 innings there, but still, 0-6, his 31-game hitting streak comes to a close. In this game, Seattle beats the Kansas City Royals 7-6. Mike Leake, 5 innings, 5 hits, 4 runs, all earned, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. Lopez for the Royals, 6 innings, 3 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Sparkman with the loss, Brennan with the win. Home runs in this game, Gordon hits his first. Vogelback had the game-winning home run in the 10th inning for the Mariners. Soler is third for the Royals. Mondesi is second for the Royals in this game. Miami, once again, loses to Cincinnati Reds 5-0. Miami only scored one run in the three-game series here. Miami getting off to a horrendous start, which most of us predicted. Lopez, the loser, 4 2/3 innings, 7 hits, 4 runs, four earned, 1 walk, 5 strikeouts. Sonny Gray was pitching well, 4 innings pitched, 2 hits, no runs, no walks, 6 strikeouts, but had to leave the game with a bruised left calf. He should be good for his next start. Stevenson picked up the win, going one inning in relief here. Athletics defeat the Orioles again. No big shock here. 8-5 in this game. Brooks goes 6 innings, 3 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 3 walks, 3 strikeouts. Crazy threes, all threes across the board there. Bundy goes 0-1, 5 innings pitched, 7 hits, 6 runs, all earned, no walks, 8 strikeouts. Home runs, Morales hits his first, Begley his third. Crush Davis hits his 8th and 9th of the season. Semien his 3rd for the Oakland Athletics. Smith Jr. hit his 1st of the season for the Baltimore Orioles. The other Chris Davis of Baltimore continues his hitless streak, 0-53 to start the season here. Nothing going his way. Chris Davis, 0-53. Cleveland, 4. Detroit, 0. That's a final as well here. Shane Bieber, 7 innings pitched, 3 hits, no runs, no earned runs, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts. Turnbull took the loss from the Tigers, 4 innings pitched, 8 hits, 3 runs, all earned, 1 walk and 4 strikeouts for the Tigers. Home runs in this game, Leonis Martin hit his 2nd of the season for Cleveland. The Detroit game versus Minnesota has already been postponed tomorrow. So Tigers and Minnesota, they will make that up as part of a twin bill on split doubleheader, on May 11th in that game. So no Detroit Twins tomorrow. That game's already been called. Also earlier today, St. Louis defeats Los Angeles Dodgers 11-7 in a slugfest. In this game, Walker Buehler only goes 4 innings, 5 hits, 5 runs, all earned, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. Walker was no better, 3 2/3, 8 hits, 7 runs, 7 earned, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts, also gave up 3 home runs. Gallegos gets the win for the Cardinals. Home runs in this game, Freese his first for the Dodgers, Hernandez his 4th. Buehler couldn't pitch but could hit his first home run of the season, 11-7 Cardinals in this game. Other games in Major League Baseball tonight. Mets will take on the Braves in the first of a 4-game series. Mets against Gausman. Mets plus 110, Braves minus 130. Pirates and Cubs, Musgrove versus Quintana, Pirates plus 115, Cubs minus 135. Padres and Diamondbacks, Avila versus Godley, minus 105 for the Padres, minus 115 for the D-backs. Rockies and Giants, minus 105 for the Rockies with Jonathan Gray. Samardzija on the mound for the Giants, they're minus 115. The only American League game tonight, Boston Red Sox play their second game of the season at Fenway Park against the Blue Jays. Aaron Sanchez versus Nathan Eovaldi. Blue Jays plus 160, Boston Red Sox minus 190 as they look to get off the schneid here to get on a winning streak. I'm George Kurtz, and this has been your Fantasy News Update.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Level two. Game time decisions. Red Heat Rage. Radio. I'm Gabriel Morenci. George Kurtz in for Cam Stewart, although Cam's going to be joining us in a couple of minutes from Las Vegas, Nevada. All right, our YouTube chat's getting all fired up. We had a ton of responses, 649 votes, and I didn't pin it to our page or anything. It just sort of got lost in my million tweets of the shuffle. We still got 649 votes as far as the Leafs and the Bruins, George. And our YouTube chat, it's amazing. This is the series. Which series? You're an Islander fan. And that was a great game last night. Good hockey, good atmosphere in the arena. Had an old school
feel to it.
Nearly
hit that post. I was going insane.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. Well, it was the outside of the post, though. I had money on the Islanders.
Yeah,
it was the outside.
I agree. He needed two.
It was closer to not going in and going in. You know what I mean?
But 5 seconds, man. 5 seconds.
I know.
Like, oh, that's a bad sign, man. I thought that was a terrible sign.
What about the goal, actually, that wasn't allowed with the replay? Did you think it was a goal?
Which one?
The
Islanders had two goals. The one that was offside, or the one that Kunackle sort of pushed in.
The one that was pushed in with the net and stuff.
I think I think they got it right. I don't think it went in through the crease. I think it went in under the once the net was moved. I think that's how it went in through the side. So I think they got that right. Actually, I think they got both of them right. As an Islander fan, I can't blame the refs either one.
I think they got it right. I props to the NHL, unlike the NFL or college basketball, where they look at a replay and they get it wrong anyways. But the NHL, I agree. And listen, I was on the Islanders, and my first reaction, I was like, that's a goal. And then I'm like, you know what? It's not. Because I saw it a little differently. I saw it from a sense of, number one, I don't think it crossed the line anyways. Like, it crossed the line after the net was off, and it didn't cross the line. They got it right, and it was a tough call, but they got it right. And then after, it wasn't offside, and, you know, good for them. They checked it. That's like your Hail Mary, right, when you're the other team. Oh, please just be offside.
It's like, you got nothing to lose.
Yeah, it's like at that point. But that's a fun series. But the Leafs are one of these teams, George. Like, I don't know, like, if you realize, like, in Canada, the Leafs aren't popular. Like, they're either loved or hated. Like, the rest of Canada hates the Leafs. They hate the city of Toronto. It's sort of like New York. Like, screw those liberals on the East Coast. You know, when you hear, like, people talk, you know what I mean? People are like, F Toronto. You know what I mean? It's not even Canada. They should be in the United States. And people don't even look at the Leafs like a Canadian team. They're just sort of like, people hate the Leafs. And Leaf Nation hasn't had any reason to punch back. They haven't had anything, really, but their team is really good. And you get the Boston Bruins, who are really just like, you know, to me, I despise the Boston Bruins. I don't like any team from Boston, but I really don't like the Bruins. Like, I just like the Bruins more than the Patriots. I'm dead serious. Like, I don't like the Boston Bruins. Like, I don't like their fans. I like the organization. Yeah. Like, so, it's a spirited series, man. And people in our chat are getting all fired up. But you guys are acting like the Boston Bruins have Bobby Orr or something. Got Jerry Cheevers between the pipes, and even they didn't win, but they did with Bobby Orr.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Yang's getting it done. Pitching a shutout. We're into level two. I just realized we haven't plugged anything. So with that, I will tell you that Major League Baseball is now in full swing. It's time to swing for the fences. Like Cam at the buffet in Las Vegas. Swing for the fences. Daily Fantasy Baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become their eighth $1 million winner with another one of their countless number of people who have won hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, and all kinds of money. Use Daily Roto to help you set your DraftKings, FanDuel, Major League Baseball lineups. If you're playing Major League Baseball DFS and you're not using DailyRoto.com, you're a stupid moron. Enter promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount. You'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, the use of lineup optimizers that have already produced millions of DFS winnings, and it's true, it's true. That's the 2019 Major League Baseball Daily Roto Premium Package. Only at DailyRoto.com. Use promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount off today and start winning. And as I stated, once the football season is back, I'm going to put $1,000 on each every single NFL total that the Daily Roto betting optimizer tells us to take because it murders it. Speaking of which, let's bring in Alex Smith, a wager talk right now. Alex, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing good. You know, just this is an exciting time of the year. Obviously, the Stanley Cup playoffs starting yesterday, and you know, getting five games underway yesterday, and now three tonight. Just some great hockey all around.
And we've got Cam Stewart in Las Vegas. What's up, Cam?
What's happening, Marenti? Just walking the streets, buddy. Teaching my brother how to play blackjack, and we're back for another night of hockey. Great night last night. Woo! The dogs are barking.
Yeah, I thought of you, though, and I was kind of upset with myself that I didn't put the jacket on because I knew it was going to be cold last night. And lo and behold, they came back. They came back, and they won the game. But let's not live in the past. So we're going to throw it to you. And I told Cam today, I'm like, yeah, phone in the rooms isn't great anyways. Cam's roaming the streets of Vegas, so it's perfect. Let us know if anything crazy happens on the strip here.
Marenti. I'm hanging by a lady right now, and she's feeding pigeons, your favorite bird. I'm like, I had to get out of Binion's. The guy's like, you can't make a cell phone here. This place is like a prison. So I'm in the dungeon. I had to go for a walk down the street. So I'm just outside of the downtown Grand and the Gold Spike. You know the area. A little bit shady, but it's all good right now. It's still light out.
You're all right. It's not the best area. It's grifter, like you said. There's like Rambo types.
Yeah, a lot of grifters.
Watch out.
A lot of grifters.
Yeah, watch out. There's people with knives. But you're all right. You know what I mean? There's you're all right. It's not the best neighborhood. That's true.
Give me your cell phone and your wallet.
Exactly. All right, Cam. Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm defending the Buds here. I'm like, people are, listen, number one, I'm tired of it. Well, people are acting like Jerry Cheevers is the goalie, like Gilles Jobert's playing, like Bobby Orr is there, and Phil Esposito's the center. I don't see Rick Middleton, guys. I don't see Peter O'Reilly, all right? So, Ray Bourque ain't really walking through the door. Watch him drop the puck tonight.
Yeah, I'm right.
Ray Bourque ain't walking through the door. But I'm just saying. People are acting, everyone talking, even in our chat now, they're acting like the Boston Bruins or the Golden State Warriors. Leafs have no chance. Like the Leafs suck.
It's unbelievable.
Like they're terrible or something. The Leafs are going to effing win this series, man. I'm telling people. The Leafs are going to win this series in six games. But what happens tonight, Cam?
I'm on it. I'm with you, Morency. It's funny. I've been talking a lot. I played blackjack with a guy from Boston today. Same thing. No respect for the Leafs. It's actually good. I like this area because Leaf fans are usually cocky. Oh, we're great. No, now everyone's crapping on them. I like it. The lines keep on going up. Nobody's taking them at the sports book. I talked to the guy from Will Hill at Binion's. Everyone's betting Boston, putting them in parlays with Washington and Calgary. You know what? I'm on the Leafs. Screw this. Now I'm getting 30, 40 cents. Series price. Here's the thing. And George Kurtz knows this too. Smith knows this. These guys are deep. Boston has one line, and their goaltending isn't much better either. And they're coming over injuries. They're talking about this Leafs team like they're a joke. Like they just got into the playoffs. Like, I'm telling you, Morency, you're giving me value on a team. Sure, Boston can win. They're favorites in the game. But to get 35, 40 cents for a Leafs team, that's nuts. That's nuts. Give me the Toronto, man. All day, all night.
Alex, Toronto Maple Leafs tonight, yeah, Boston Bruins. Are you one of the Leaf haters out there?
I'm not a Leaf hater, but like you say, yeah, I get it. Tim Thomas is not walking through that door, but this is a Boston team that is absolutely loaded, and they played really well at home. They've won 12 of the last 14 games at home, including 6 of the last 7 meetings at home against Toronto. This is going to be a tight series. Like I said, there's value in Toronto because I don't think it's going to be a complete walkaway. I like Boston in this series, but Toronto's going to give them a hell of a fight. Like we've seen the last two times they've met has gone to a game 7. I expect nothing different.
What about the total tonight, guys? What are you expecting tonight, Kurtz? What do you think about game 1 tonight?
I agree with Alex. I think it's going to be a tough series, but I give the edge to Boston here. But I'm not betting in the game itself, but I'm going the over. I mean, we've seen that Toronto's had trouble defensively. I know Jake Gardner was out. That was a big reason why. He's back now. Maybe he calms things down. But we're not talking the greatest defensive team here in the first place, even with Gardner here. I think Frederik Anderson a little shaky there. I agree with Ken. That Soka Tukarask. I'm going to go the over 6.
Over 6, says George Kurtz. All right, Alex Smith, winnerswagertalk.com, Cam Stewart's in Vegas. We'll keep Alex. We'll go through because this segment's always real quick, but nevertheless. So, Alex, Carolina Hurricanes and the Washington Capitals. Carolina, you know, a fun team this year, but you look at the numbers, and the Washington Capitals have had their number when they have played against each other. They beat them all 3 times that they played this year. And if you go back, actually, they've beaten them 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they've beaten them 6 out of the last 7 times, 7 out of the last 8, 7 out of the last 9 times they played, essentially. You know, what does that mean? I don't know, but we have the defending Stanley Cup champions. The price feels low, but is it a trap? Are they trying to reel us in by saying, hey, look, the Capitals are only -145. What do you make of this one tonight?
I get where a lot of people would look at playing the Capitals, playing the Carolina Hurricanes here, because this is a team that, you know, they've been a fun story. We've seen the storm surge and all the different celebrations at the end of the year. And they're a good team away from home, too. Don't get get it twisted. They have won 12 of the last 17 on the road. But this is a Washington team that, like I said, not only are they the reigning defending Stanley Cup champions, not only have they won 8 of the last 10 meetings against Carolina, but they've also, remember last year, they started off slow, lost game 1 and 2. Everybody started thinking, oh, it's the same Capitals team that might be choking once again. And then they turned things around. And got things on track and en route to winning the Stanley Cup. I think they know they got to start here fast. They've got to win at home. Can't let Carolina get any kind of energy. I think this is going to be a high-scoring game. I like the over first period here. I like the over full game, and I think the Capitals get it done. I like them in regulation as well.
What are you doing with this one, Cam?
Yeah, you know, Gabe, I'm looking for a dog, but I got to give you guys credit. Alex is right on the nose here. This is the thing. This line is a bait line for Carolina, it feels like to me. Washington owned them this year. Also, huge goaltending edge. Sure, Peter Mrazek, once in a while, he'll stand on his head. McElhinney, these guys are backups. They're career backups. You saw what Mrazek, when he went to the Philadelphia Flyers, it was a train wreck. Washington is a Stanley Cup champion. The only thing I worry about is a little bit of hunger. Once you've won that cup before or gone deep, a.k.a. look at Vegas last night. I was on San Jose. I was at Gabe. I went to the Vegas game party there down at the Sunset Station. What a train wreck. Tears and beers. People were pissed because they look like a team that got dominated. I worry about that with Washington. Once you've won the hardest trophy in sports to win, what is the motivation? I still think they have enough talent. They've taken them down this year, and it's a very, very low price. Give me the Capitals, and it will be parlayed as well. I think the Capitals get it done.
Parlayed with who? The Calgary Flames?
Hey, buddy. You said it. You're reading my mail. We're going with Calgary tonight. My brother's from Calgary. It's our last night here. We're going to go on a motorcycle tour tomorrow too. It's actually been a lot of fun. I taught my brother how to play blackjack. Now he's hooked. We all have addictive personalities. It's not a good thing. He stopped drinking. Now he's playing blackjack. I didn't mean to do that to him, but he's actually doing pretty well. He's a pretty sharp guy. But Calgary, I think, takes care of Colorado. Colorado's one of those teams. It's Nathan MacKinnon, Rantanen, and who else? That's the problem that I have with Colorado. Also, Calgary has defensive woes with goaltending, but they have speed. I think they can exploit the Colorado Avalanche tonight. I think Calgary wins that game by a couple goals, but let's just put them in parlays. A Washington-Calgary parlay to plus money looks good to me.
I think that's going to be a whole bunch of series. Hang in there, guys. We'll be right back.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
All right, level two continues. Game time decisions ready. HR Radio. We got Alex Smith, wagertalk.com. Got all of Alex's NBA and NHL picks throughout the playoffs. Check him out. Follow him on Twitter. Alex, we have his Twitter up on the screen. And Alex Smith. And go to Wager Talk to get all the links and videos and everything. And a raging redhead Cam Stewart has a Twitter, but he's not on it often. He's too busy living his life, walking the streets of Las Vegas. Nevada. So, Alex and George, I'll ask you, Alex. So, what do you make of the Colorado Calgary game and series? And as we were going out, I said to me, that's one where I think home ice will come to play. We saw three road teams win last night, and I don't think home ice means as much in hockey as it does in other sports. But I think in this series, it will. Calgary are a very, 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 very good home team. You're talking it a rabid. You know, it's going to be just, you know, a team and a very hungry audience there. And again, Colorado is a tough place to play with the altitude to begin with. I could see this series being very home orientated between Calgary and Colorado.
Yeah, I agree with you there. And the one thing that, you know, was mentioned earlier, too, is that the goaltending is going to be an issue, not just for Calgary. Yeah, Mike Smith's a bit shaky. I'm not sure where we get if we see David Rittich in that for the Flames. But even with Colorado, you got Philip Grubauer. We talked about Washington earlier. Well, those first two games that Washington lost last year in the first round, it was Grubauer that was in that. And then Holtby took over the rest of the way. So if Grubauer, you know, he's faced a lot of minutes as of late, been the kind of their savior to lead them to the playoffs. If he falters a little bit and they have to go with Varlamov, you know, it's not really exactly something to trust with. As far as this series goes, I think it's going to be a higher scoring series. And I think we're going to see a higher scoring game tonight. But, yeah, I think I could definitely see where the home team would probably end up winning most of the games here in the series.
All right, Alex. So before we get you out of here, we'll keep Cam here. People are want to get an update as far as what Cam's eating in Las Vegas. Let's look at tomorrow here, Alex. Looking ahead, the Tampa Bay Lightning. Tampa Bay Lightning blew a 3-0 lead. They've done a good job bouncing back after game ones. I saw a stat. Gamblew sent me a stat today. I think they were 4-3 in game ones, but the ones they lost, they always won the next game or whatever. But a lot of pressure on them. And Columbus are hot right now. And they might be feeling like a team of destiny. You know, like they were not, I'm not saying destiny, like one shining moment, but, you know, they fought hard to get in the playoffs. They get there. They're down 3-0. They come back. Last year, they blew the 2-0 lead. Then the Caps came back. Then they could have had them. They had them on the ropes. And in the next game, they hit the freaking post. They end up losing. Eventually, like Columbus is one of these teams, and I'll start with you, Alex. I look forward to your take, George and Cam. But Columbus are one of these teams. I get the feeling that they've had such bad luck for their entire existence that one of these days when things go well for them, they're going to be a bitch to deal with, and this might be the time. This might be the time, man. Great save by Bobrovsky to keep him in the game last night. Tortorella's been there, done that. He might be a jerk, but when things are going well, players like him. And, you know, Tampa could be in trouble, but what do you make? Are they in trouble, or am I overreacting after one game?
Yeah, I don't think the Lightning are trouble. I mean, obviously, for Columbus, you know, this is a team that we talked about. You know, they basically, you know, they made a couple of moves to the deadline, and then they didn't make a couple of moves to the deadline. And by that, I mean not moving Artemi Panarin, not moving Sergei Bobrovsky, meaning they were gonna keep them for this playoff run. And Bobrovsky, I mean, if he's playing like he's playing in the second and third period of last game, then yes, they have a good chance. If he plays like he did in the first period of yesterday, the Lightning should come back and not have any worries. And I'm guessing we're gonna see more of that first period Bobrovsky, because that's what we've seen from him throughout his career. And this is a Columbus team that, much like how Washington was before they won the Cup last year, he said they just always seem to be snake bit at the wrong time. Great regular seasons they put together, ton of talent. But once they get in the playoffs, they just aren't ready for the bright lights in the prime time. Where Tampa Bay, they've been there, done that. We've seen them go as far as the Cup final back in 2015. They've got a ton of talent with Brady Point, Nikita Kucherov, the Art Ross Trophy winner, Stamkos, et cetera. And this is just a good team right now. They've got a decent goalie, Vasilevskiy, too. I think we see the Lightning bounce back. 245, I'm seeing as a opening price. That's a bit high. We'd probably look at maybe laying the puck line. I can see where this would be a marginal win for the Tampa Bay Lightning tomorrow.
All right, Alex, so before we get you out of here, other lines for tomorrow. Pittsburgh Penguins -130, game two in Nassau, Long Island. St. Louis Blues, Winnipeg Jets -120. Trying, you know, they're down a game, and we've got Vegas and San Jose. San Jose looked real good last night, -135. What's your takes? Quick takes on these games tomorrow night. Anything catch your eye?
Well, with the Blues and Jets, I mean, we're seeing a under a 5.5, and it's just slightly juiced. I'm looking at that again. I think we're going to see more tremendous goaltending from both Jordan Bennington and St. Louis, and also with a Hellebuck in Winnipeg. So that's something I'll be looking at. Vegas, and it sounds like Vegas was just so underwhelming in that first game, not using their speed. They just seemed completely disoriented, where San Jose is a team that they're slow, but when they get into the offensive zone, they know how to plod well. They take quality shots. I think Vegas will be playing a better game in game two, so there's little bit of value there. I think of the plus 114 price. Pittsburgh and New York was a great first game. I don't think we're going to see as higher scoring in the second game. I think the goaltending will kind of tighten down. Obviously, Trotz is a company want to, you know, make an emphasis to play better defense. I like the under 5.5 there as well.
Alex Smith, wagertalk.com. Check out the website. Thanks for the time, Alex.
All right, thanks for having me, guys. Take it easy.
Alex Smith. With us. You can follow him on Twitter, Alex B. Smith, as well as find him over at Wager Talk as well. The countdown is on right now. It's amazing how spirited people are getting right now as far as the Leafs and the Bruins are concerned. You know, listen, man, this to me, this game, guys, comes down to Freddie Anderson, and the series comes down to Freddie Anderson and the Leafs defenseman, but I think, you know, I think they're going to do better than people think. And you talked about it, Cam, going into March Madness. You know, we saw it. Teams that can't hit threes, hit threes. You know what I mean? Teams that never play defense, play defense. Teams that score a million points a game suddenly can't score. That's the way it goes. And, you know, I'm holding out hope that, hey, the Leafs will be able to clear the zone. It's not rocket science. Get the puck out of the damn zone. Like, don't overthink it. Fire it off the glass. Get it out of the effing zone.
Exactly, Morenci. And the Leafs, the one thing about them is Boston's top heavy. When you go up and down the roster, and it's up to guys like Kadri. Like, look what happened yesterday. I was talking to our boy Andy Isco, one of my proxy from the Super Contest. He was sitting beside me at the party. We had a great talk, and I gave a big spiel about Tyler Bozak, how much I missed him. He helps, you know, scores the winning goal for the Blues. Those grinding-type guys who do everything well, they back-check. They're not flashy. They get the job done. That's how you win playoff battles. I didn't like what I saw from Vegas last night. Another point, Gabe. When you're goaltender, Morenci, you're my goaltender, and some fourth liner crashes into you, and you have to defend yourself. I didn't see anybody on Vegas get their paw up there, start defending their goaltender. It's pathetic. San Jose's beating you down. You put a hole through that guy's face. What I saw last night, they had no fight back, and that's a bad sign for the Las Vegas Golden Knights in that game. San Jose already had the edge, and they basically slapped them around like on the schoolyard. They intimidate them, they beat them up, and they're a big team. Vegas, very disappointing last night except for Stone. I'm with you with the Leafs. I think they're a deeper team. If Anderson just plays a decent game, I'm not even saying spectacular. If he only lets in a couple goals, no stupid double bounces. Jake Gardner's got to play a little bit harder in defense. Get the puck out. You're right. And now, and guys like Nylander and Kadri, if they show up, the Leafs will be fine in this series. They'll win this series, Gabe, and we're getting a great number. It's a good pick tonight. Take the Leafs.
All right, Cam. So before we get you out of here, Masters. What's your take on the Masters so far?
Oh, God. I was just watching it at the bar. Like, I got Paul Casey's like five over. We got some guys that are doing well, like Kuchar's doing well. And you got to hand it to Canadian Corey Connors. Another great round. The guy wins the Valero Texas Open. He goes and shoots a two under. Gabe, I don't know what to say. Tiger Woods is lingering around. This is a long, hard tournament. Kind of like the playoffs, a war of attrition. You can't make the mistake. And a great start for a guy we talked about, John Rahm. He plotted around a three under round today. Will he make those mistakes? No. If John Rahm listens to his caddy, placed spots, he can win the Masters. He's just got to be able to not go for it on every shot, step back a little bit, and when there's time to be aggressive on the short par fives, and we might have Spaniard John Rahm at 22-1, wherever you got him, as a Masters champion. He can't do dumb stuff, though, but he looked fantastic today.
All right, and in our remaining minutes, somebody asked in the chat what your favorite dessert, what's Cam's eating dessert down there, and I said Cam's not much of a dessert guy. Yeah, I don't see. Yeah. You like to save room for ribs.
Yeah, I do pecan pie. I do pecan pie. I can't lie to you, Gabe. I've hit a buffet every single day today. I've over under bacon strips, probably like 92.5. Sausage patties, it's got to be in the 47.5 range. Like, I'm
so what, you've been focusing
here.
More like on breakfast buffets? That's what's getting you by?
Exactly. You know the drill, Morenci. I upgraded for the Golden Nugget $22 buffet, Eggs Benedict and the rest. I plow that three or four plates. It keeps me right through the day. You know, perfect timing. I don't need food till the late hockey games. That's how you get it done in Vegas. One big meal, glide through.
And, so what are you crushing at night? Have you hit up anywhere? Have you gone to Sonic?
Yeah. No, I haven't done the fast food, Morenci. I've done the Binion's buffet, I've done the Fremont buffet, and I've done the Golden Nugget buffet. And last night at Blessings, I had stick hot dogs and a bin of wings at the Las Vegas party last night. I was on San Jose, though. I didn't tell those guys.
Yeah.
Tough night for the Vegas Golden Knight team.
I might have to jump off the Vegas bandwagon here. They did look pretty flat last night.
I didn't like it was a body language, Gabe, and you played hockey like me before. When you lose a game like that, you want to make a statement. Nobody touches my goaltender without getting hit. I didn't like the way they didn't protect Fleury in that game. It really upset me just watching it. And San Jose, they're also playing with revenge. Remember, Vegas had that story season in their inaugural season. San Jose's had a lot of disappointment. They're playing with a lot of cards against this team, too. They really hate Vegas. These teams don't like each other, and the Sharks would like nothing more than to pound these guys into the ground.
All right, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart. Cam, we'll speak to you tomorrow. Any other bets for tonight? Got anything? Anything else?
Yeah. In baseball, I took a shot with Atlanta tonight. I think the Pittsburgh Pirates, yar, are a nice pooch at 125. Small play on the Blue Jays, +1.5, -10 against Boston. And in hockey tonight, winners include hopefully Toronto, Calgary, and Washington.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, guys, Major League Baseball season now in full swing, which means it is time to swing for the fences playing daily fantasy baseball with who? DailyRoto.com. You can become their $8 million winner or another one of the countless number of people who have won hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands, hell, even hundreds of thousands of dollars using DailyRoto.com to help set their DraftKings or FanDuel MLB lineups. And if you are playing MLB DFS and you're not using DailyRoto.com, yeah, not good, guys, here. And a promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount, and you'll get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and more importantly, the use of those lineup optimizers that have already produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Promo code FNTSY and get your 10% discount today.
And we suggest that you do it if you want to make some money. All right, let's talk some Stanley Cup playoffs right now. And I'm really excited, actually, to welcome Mr. Devil, three-time Stanley Cup champion, New Jersey Devil analyst Ken Danico steps up and in and joins us. Ken, welcome to the program. Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning, man.
Well, thanks for having me. How are you guys doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing good. We're doing good, Ken. So listen, I'm a big puckhead. You know, we're doing a show out of Manhattan now, but I'm originally from Montreal. So, you know, hockey's in my blood, and I tell people all the time at this time of the year, Stanley Cup, toughest trophy in sports to win. The war of attrition. It's not like the NBA where you get 4 days off after a game. Oh, we'll play Saturday and we'll see you next Friday, guys. You're banging every 48 hours. So I wanted to ask you, someone that's ran the gauntlet before and played in as many games as possible in the playoffs, what's the most weight that you lost? Because I told people the other day, I said, man, guys started 230, end of the playoffs, they're a buck 85, right? Like, how extreme is it, Ken, in there? Like, when you go to the cup and you went the distance, man, how much weight does the do you guys lose?
I think everybody's obviously different, but certainly guys look a lot more sheepish, and the face is sunk in, certainly.
Pale.
There's no question. Pale. There's a lot of cuts, bruises, missing teeth, but that's what makes it great. It really is four grueling rounds, not only physically but mentally, to understand what you have to go through and stay focused and execute on a nightly basis, because the competitive balance in the league right now is at an all-time high, and we always see, more so than any playoffs, I would say, upsets and unexpected things happen come playoff time. And look no further than Game 1, Columbus Blue Jackets coming back from a 3-0 deficit against a team that historically set records this year, tied for the most wins ever in regular season, 62, the Tampa Bay Lightning. And all they had was a 3-0 lead after the first period. And I don't think anybody saw that coming, the Blue Jackets keeping their composure and coming back. So that's what makes it great. We talk about, clichéically, the second season. And it certainly is. The slate's wiped clean, and the Blue Jackets steal one from Tampa. So that's what's makes it so fun, the unpredictability at times. But no doubt, it's a grind. And I always look and reflect 10 years after my career, because you don't realize what goes into it. And I was fortunate to be part of three Stanley Cup championship teams. And I understand why we won. We were mentally tougher than teams that were as good as us or better than us, and we had a group of guys that understood what it takes. And that's the only way you can win the championship.
You guys, it almost makes me think of the Patriots in a sense. The mental toughness, the resiliency, the discipline. You guys are a very, very, very disciplined hockey team. You're a very team orientated team. You know, the Devil's success. So as you mentioned, and especially hockey fans, you know, it's a real roller coaster. Like if the Leafs lose tonight, oh boy, here we go again. And Babcock's in the hot seat. They win. Hey, book Bay Street for a parade, Ken. You know what it's like. It's up, it's down. But if you're Tampa Bay, you need to say, hey, it's just one game. And I saw Cooper saying all the right things after the game last night. It's one game. And yet it's not really one game, is it, Ken? Isn't with Tampa Bay, is it in a sort of a carryover of past years? Like, how much pressure is on Tampa in that room to win game two right now?
Well, I think there's a ton of pressure for sure. I mean, Tampa Bay knows it's Stanley Cup or bust. They've had great regular seasons. They're a team that is loaded, not many holes in it. But last night we saw a few. I mean, they got complacent. They were a little sloppy defensively after a 3-0 lead. Maybe took a few things for granted, but I give the Columbus Blue Jackets a ton of credit because and Coach Tortorella, who we all know can be a very emotional, feisty kind of guy, certainly. And, boy, he must have kept his team composed after the first period because they didn't let it get away from them. They thought maybe, you know, 3-0, we'll get out of our game plan. We'll play different. We'll play physical. We'll take some penalties. We'll worry about game two. We'll try to maybe bang them up a little bit or beat them up, but they stay composed. And obviously the right things were said after the first period to say that, you know, we're not done here yet. And they get some timely saves, timely goals, and win a hockey game. But for Tampa Bay, it's just, look, it's one game. You always got to go through some adversity. And it's usually a lot of the time, if I recollect and look back to my playing days and in the playoffs, that first round can be the most difficult, certainly at times because of that high expectations, certainly for a team like Tampa Bay Lightning. So I'm very curious and interested to see how they respond in game two. Yeah, they'll come out flying and all those cliched terms, but will they execute? will they get a little bit tight? You know, that's going to be the interesting factor here after, you know, nobody saw what was coming last night. Certainly after we go, oh boy, here we go. Tampa Bay's rolling again, just like the regular season, up 3-0, probably a 6-1 final. And all of a sudden, before you know it, the end of the hockey game, it's 4-3 Columbus Blue Jackets on a remarkable comeback.
I love the cliches now, too, as you stated. I was just bitching about this a few minutes ago. I spoke to a ton of hockey guests and analysts over the last couple of days, and I had to cut someone off last night when they said, it's going to be really rocking and loud in Winnipeg tonight. And I said, so what? Like, I said, guys, loud doesn't win. Metallica's loud doesn't mean you're going to win a hockey game. You know what I mean? Like.
I'll tell you, as a visitor, as a team going on the road, sometimes I like starting on the road. Everybody talks about this home ice advantage, and I don't believe in it all that much come playoff time. Maybe a game seven in a big series, it can benefit you a little bit. But I used to love to go into buildings that there was a lot of hostility, and they're screaming at you, calling you every explicit possible, and you want to go out there and quiet the crowd, certainly. It's a lot of fun, less pressure, because you go play a simpler game, play a road game. You don't have to put on a show. Yeah. At times, you try to do that at home. And you mentioned something, the staying balanced, staying even keeled, and that is a little cliche, too, but it is so true. That's one thing I do believe in the playoffs is you can't ride that emotional roller coaster. If Tampa Bay's in a panic mode right now, which I don't believe they are, by losing one game that they weren't supposed to lose and they're up 3-0, well, then it's trouble. If you think you're a Stanley Cup contender, a Stanley Cup championship team, you roll with the punches and you get right back at it and you get back to what made you successful. And it sounds easy, but sometimes it's not because you can get unsettled, you get out of your game plan. Obviously, the opposition has something to do with that. But it's how you respond, because I remember being up, down in series, and we had veteran guys, we had leaders, guys that you did, and great coaching that, you know, it was able to make sure that you just stay on an even keel. You don't get too high after a big win. You don't get too low after a terrible loss like last night for Tampa anyway, and a few other home teams that lost the opening game as well. And you just roll with the punches here and stay consistent.
Ken, I got to ask, you know, one of the things that drives me absolutely crazy about the NBA is there's no villains. And, you know, it's like everyone loves each other and, you know, the fans all love each other. But that's not the case in the NHL. When you look at who's in this tournament right now, right? I mean, who is the team that's the easiest to get behind? And who do you think is the, you know, the one or two teams that are the villains this year in the NHL that you're not getting behind? The public is not getting behind.
Well, I always think you look at the Pittsburgh Penguins, and they've been so damn good for the last, this is their 13th consecutive year making the playoffs, and you don't see it too much of playoffs, and they've won a bunch of Stanley Cups in between there, and they've got, for me, the best hockey player in the world for a decade, and Sidney Crosby and Malkin and star-type talent. So a lot of people in general, if you're not a fan of the Pittsburgh Penguins, or you're a fan of another team, even if it's not your team playing them, you have a tendency to want to see them lose. And that's because they're so damn good. That's the reason that they've been so damn good in these situations, in these pressure spots, regardless where they finish in the standings. And the feel-good stories are always the underdog-type teams, like Carolina, who hadn't made the playoffs in I don't know how long, but it's been forever. They're in the playoffs. Can they upset the Stanley Cup champions starting tonight as they play the Washington Capitals? It's always those underdog-type teams for me that, you know, you always want to see them have a little bit of success and see if they can upset the villain that you're talking about. And New York Islanders are in that same boat, I would say, but last year, not a good year. They went from the best, the worst defensive team in the National Hockey League to the best under Coach Barry Trotz and General Manager Lou Lamoriello, and they've got the mighty Penguins, and they win a big one in overtime. So for me, it's usually the underdog-type teams, but there's hatred. You have to have it, and that's the passion of the playoffs. There's no friends out there, and certainly in my era, it was even more intense because of the fact the game was a little different and the physicality. And if you're down 4-1,
oh, no,
you're going to C3.
You guys were
you're
more
going
intense.
To C3.
Not you and Scott.
But you know,
you think
the series for me, that's I'm old school. I don't like to be buddy buddies with anybody.
Listen, Boston, Toronto, okay. That's the one. That's the one that's going to get hostile. I think the Colorado, Calgary will get kind of a little old school. But Joe asked you about the hatred. Boston and Toronto, Ken, what's your quick take on that? I think they're going to get after it a bit, these teams. I think the Leafs are sick of losing to the Bruins.
They are, but from a game plan standpoint, the Leafs can't match the Bruins physically. So that isn't a game I would want to get into if I'm the Toronto Maple Leafs. I want to use my skill, my speed. They're deep. They've got a great offensive team. I think they got to stay away from the scrum, stay away from that, and just focus on between the whistles. Get out of there when the whistle's blown. When the game's on, you play your game. They're going to have to take some abuse. I mean, that's just the way it is. But they have a highly skilled team that can match the Bruins from an offensive standpoint. Defensively, maybe not quite as good. And as we know, goaltending's everything in hockey. And another series that's always on late, so maybe we don't give enough attention to, but there's quite a bit of hatred between the Sharks and Vegas Golden Knights already. They played last year in the playoffs. The Cinderella story, Vegas Golden Knights, upset them, went to the Stanley Cup Finals in their inaugural year, and now San Jose wants payback, and it was pretty nasty last night. Those two teams don't like each other as well, and I love when that animosity and that you've got to have hatred for your opponent. I'm telling you, if you don't, the other team has an edge, and certainly there's no friends come playoff time in hockey, that's for sure.
Like, even off the top of my head, Ken, I'm thinking, you guys in the Rangers, Quebec Nordiques and the Canadians, and remember the old Colorado Avalanche and the Detroit Red Wings. Like, they nearly killed each other for real. I wanted to ask you before we get out of here, I think we only got about a minute left. We appreciate your time, Mr. Ken Danico. But I go to the FanDuel Sportsbook pretty much on a daily basis, and I'm always passing your old arena, and I'm thinking, man, just like, I can't believe, like, the history that's happened in that place. And, you know, with all due respect, it has to be the worst-looking building in, like, America.
Well, I think they're finally going to finish whatever's going on there at the Meadowlands.
I just think about you and Marty driving in there, going to work in the morning, thinking, dear God, this is our rink. Like,
you know what? We put it on the map, certainly, and I'm proud of that. Stanley Cup championship teams. But I like the amenities in the new arena.
Thanks, Ken.
Believe me, these guys are spoiled.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game Time Decisions, Ranger Radio continues. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeartRadio. You know what, George? I wish we had more time with Ken Danico, as I wanted to talk to him about that arena and the experience of playing there. And, you know, I pass it almost, a couple of times a week, more than a couple of times, but I pass it often and like up close. And I look and I just think about, like, the events that have taken place there. But, like, when the Rangers and the Devils were playing, I wanted to ask them, but we ran out of time. Next time, I'm going to ask them, like, how did they get, like, to the games and stuff? Did they have a police escort? You know what I mean? Like, you have to drive. I mean, they're taking a bus, obviously, so they would take a team bus, but they must have had a police escort, right? Like, you can't have, like, Mike Richter and Brian Leetch weren't stuck in traffic driving to Jersey, were they?
That's an interesting question, right? Because we all know the problems getting to that arena, that
yeah,
area.
I was thinking about it. Yeah, I wonder about that.
I would think you're probably right. I mean, do they get there early enough where they don't need it? I mean, even it's an 8 o'clock game. The bus comes in at what? One?
Probably
two?
Well, you have the morning skate. It'd be unique, though, because you could technically have the morning skate at MSG, or there, you know what I mean? And then, like, who knows how, like, you know, like, they might say, all right, we're practicing here, and then we're going. I mean, some football teams, they get dressed and then get on a bus. You know what I mean? Clemson do that. They get dressed and then they get on the bus and stuff, and then they go, then they run on the field. Yeah, I was just wondering about that. Thinking, because, you know, I wasn't here for that, but I imagine just the intensity of it in that series, you know, when the year the Rangers won the Cup and the guarantee and what the atmosphere must have been like just going back and forth to these arenas and just the insane traffic. I would assume they'd have a police escort.
See, I don't think that, because they get there early enough where they're not worried about traffic. I don't think they would. I think this guy, they got to make plans for it. It's what teams have to do here. I saw something yesterday where back when Washington played the Islanders in 15, that Trotz took a cab to get from the Marriott to the Coliseum. You can walk from the Marriott to the Coliseum. It's not that far. Either Trotz was very lazy or he was afraid of getting mugged on the way.
It'd be faster to walk, too.
Much faster. It's a longer trip. Yeah. I mean, it's exactly. I've made that walk. It's easy.